King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy, say. Worthy is the Lamb. That's why church was shut out. Oh, he's worthy. Something good in your life, you praise him today. Hey!
More than enough, love, how Jesus Christ is. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my sin.
Holder of my fears. This morning, nothing in this world will satisfy, 'cause he's the cup that won't run dry today. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run. Come on, all my days on earth I will sing it. See, all these days on earth I will await. Oh Jesus, the moment that I see you face to face. Hallelujah. Well, nothing in this world will satisfy. That's right. Jesus is the cup. Hallelujah. Come on, nothing. Nothing in this world will satisfy. Do you believe that this morning? you believe it, shout, Jesus, you're the cup. Jesus.
Jesus, you're the cup that won't run.
Come on, give him a mighty praise today.
God. Amen. Amen. Jesus is in this meeting today. Does anybody else other than the preacher feel the presence of Almighty God in this meeting today? Sense His presence. Oh, how I love you, Lord. Normal formalcy. Right? When you're home, you have just kind of your routine, and but when somebody special comes into your house, there's that normal formality goes out the window, and all of a sudden you just straighten up and you begin to recognize there's something fresh here. I tell you today, Jesus is in this meeting today in a very special way, and it's pretty hard to be so sensitive to who's around you when you realize God is here and you're more sensitive to who's in you today. I think you ought to help me just let God know with your voice. You can train a monkey to clap, but only God's people know how to voice praise to Him. Why don't you voice your praise to God right now and tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how much you honor Him. Let Him know how grateful you are that beyond all things in life, He has always been there. He's been there in the past. He'll be there in the future. But I'm glad to tell you He's there right now. Go ahead. Use your words. Use your voice and tell Jesus, I recognize you're here and you're here to do something special. Now, God, I pray not one of us can leave the same way we came in. If anyone came in far from you, let them leave close to you. If anybody came in discouraged, let them leave encouraged. If anybody came in sick, let them go out well. If anybody came in depressed, let them go out with joy. If anybody came in hopeless, let them go out with a vision. For that's what you're going to do today for the people of God. And in Jesus' name, let's thank God for His faithfulness to His people and to His word today. Amen. Help me, and we don't ever want to just take this lightly, but for real, would you greet three people near you and tell them, I'm so glad that you're here in church today, and then you can be seated. Thank you so much. With sincerity, let them know you're so glad that they're here. Just a volume on. Nothing. Huh?
I'll try to text her.
Okay, all right. That's fine. Praise God. If I can just get a little monitor, that'd be awesome. Thank you. You're doing great. Praise God. I'm so glad that you're in church today. You know something about being a first-time guest is there's only one time to be a first-time guest. And we never get another opportunity to treat you quite like that. So if you're a first-time guest today, thank you for joining us and being with us. In front of you, you'll see a contact card. If you'd fill that out, we've got a gift for you. So after you filled it out, when church is over, take that to the Welcome Center you saw when you came in, and they've got a gift there for you. And everybody that's joining us online, thank you for joining us, and we appreciate you tuning in. We just look forward to the day that we get to see you here with us. We're better looking in person, at least the church is, than on video. Let's welcome all of our guests here and online today. God bless you. So glad that you're here. Let me just give you a couple of events that I want you to be aware of that are coming right up for our church family. Number one is we're collecting coats for kids out in the foyer. You see every week the bins are just overflowing with coats. Next year we're going to try to start a little earlier into the fall because it's cold now. But thank you so much for doing that. We're collecting them this week and next week. And to the kids that are hearing from you, thank you so very much. And we're asking if at all possible that you bring a new coat in, because I think it's important that a child know what it's like to take their own new tag off their new coat and put on there. Then they feel like they own it. And so thank you for doing that. That next Sunday, Tiff Shuttlesworth is going to be here. And we did this strategically. We knew that many of you are going to be near your family members here at Thanksgiving, and you want your family to know about Christ, or you want your family's faith to increase in Christ. And so this coming Sunday, Tiff Shuttlesworth will be here, and I don't know anybody that can communicate Bible prophecy better than Tiff Shuttlesworth. That Bible is full, thousands of prophecies. One of the greatest tools for building faith in people is the fulfillment of biblical prophecies. And again, Tiff will come in with current events. It will strengthen your faith. It will strengthen the faith of your family and friends. And I believe people are going to get saved next Sunday morning and next Sunday night. How many have faith for that for next week to happen? All right, put your faith into action and bring some people with you next Sunday. I believe it's going to be a Sunday that we'll not forget. One of the best of the year, honestly. And then on December the 1st, is the gingerbread extravaganza. It's in the Epic Center. Kids, adults, grandparents, all of them love coming to that. They have all the supplies to build a gingerbread house, and you get to, there'll be prizes, there'll be games, and you get to take your house home and eat it. You can eat your house on your way home if you want to. And it's a lot of fun. I hope parents, you're going to love doing this stuff with your kids. Grandparents, you're going to love doing this stuff with your grandkids. So make sure that you make plans for that. Then December 3rd is the 64th annual Sunday School Christmas program at 5 o'clock. And it's an event that I look forward to every year. It's so much fun, the little kids and the older kids. And Ron Day, with his humor, is the focal point of the night. Okay, in my mind it is. Apparently it's not to the masses, Ron, but for me, I enjoy it, so you got one fan. No, I'm sure everybody loves it. So look forward to being here with that. And then Paul Balosh is going to be here, Balosh, whatever his name is. He's Paul, not that one, I mean, wherever he went, is coming December 8th, and you get to get your tickets on Lighthouse Events. That'd be fantastic. All right, everybody feeling good? Everybody ready for Thanksgiving? Man, I tell you, I've got big plans. I've got big plans. I'm not going to eat between breakfast and lunch. That's my plan. And then I'm going to eat for days after that. So I'm looking forward. I hope that you have a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving. Tonight, be back here. I got a very special message the Lord has really given to me, and I can't wait to share it with you tonight. So get back here at 5 o'clock tonight. Let me just ask the ushers very quickly to bring those Project 18 flyers down right now. And I would like for you, if you did not receive one of these last week, please raise your hand when they are here, and we'd like for you to have one. If you've already got one, then just use the one that you've got. But to this morning, I want to go through these kind of briefly today and talk to you. Basically, Project 18 is our missions effort to support ministries that are outside the walls of this church. And when the brethren are here, I'll help you once they get in position, and I'll help you to know where to go from there. But this is our opportunity together as a church. If everybody will unite, we can get a lot done for the kingdom of God. And okay, I think they're about here. They're getting close. Just raise your hand if you want one of these. And if you've already got one, you don't need one. But if you want one, go ahead and raise your hands. And these fine-looking professionals will get—they're professionals at handing these flyers out. They're very well trained in doing that. But I'm just going to ask, they're going to put the PowerPoint up, and you're going to be able to go along with me. In about 8 minutes, I can just encourage you and inspire you on what we're doing with Project 18. And once you get that, and you need to go into the balcony as well, guys. There's nobody up there helping them. Once you get into page number 2, you'll begin to see the local ministry. So we break our missions up into two parts, local missions and global missions. The first is Joe's House, which is a transitional home for men out of drug addiction or out of prison. And I'll talk to you more about that at the end here. And then is United Farmer Veterans of Maine, which we are going to be building cabins for veterans that are either done with their service or are getting ready to be completed with their commitment. And in those cabins, they're going to be able to get trained for work. And it's a faith-based organization where we share the faith of Christ with these very precious men and women that we so value. The effort is to build 300 next year. We'd like to at least build one. And it costs about $6,000. And it would be fun once that's built to get some pictures of it, interview who's there, and to share that with you. I can't wait for that. Safe Place Food Pantry, this year, by the end of the year, we'll have given out 384 tons of food. I think we ought to honor those precious volunteers. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's not like once a summer or once during Thanksgiving, and they do big Thanksgiving. This is something these guys are doing 12 months a year. They do it twice a month, enough to cover the whole month, and we're so grateful for that. We want to pay off that truck so that truck has no more debt. Empowering Education, as you know, we supply school supplies to students all over the region, but next year we want to do the biggest Christmas giving drive that we've ever done before. We want to see hundreds of families have Christmas gifts all around their tree and let them know there's a church in Charleston that loves them, and more importantly, that Jesus loves them, right? Fusion is an incredibly, one of the best looking pastors in the nation is on TV every day at no cost to the viewer. So isn't that beautiful? Global missions, Tiff Shuttlesworth is going to be going, he goes all over the world, but he's going to Alaska. We've helped him so many times in the past, backpacks and mittens and school supplies. And he loves to go into Alaska, especially to tribes that have never heard the gospel before. You might find that hard to believe, but there are people on the planet that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And how many know they ought to hear it first before somebody else who's heard it 100 times hears it again, right? And so we want to be able to take care of that trip. And then Nate going into India, Nate Pimentel will be going to India next July. We want to be able to cover his cost. He works with a variety of churches in India through our connection of Prince Jerome at the Bible College. Faith Bible College International. If you have or have not heard, a business person has said if we can raise $1 million by the end of next year, they would match that with $1 million. Now, I'm not asking you to give them $1 million. What I'm suggesting is that whatever we make commitments for, we put into the scholarship fund. Listen to this. It costs $6,000 a year for a student to go to Faith Bible College. It costs the school $11,500. How many understand we're not getting rich doing this? But because of support, we're able to accomplish it in God's provision. But there are students that cannot even afford the $6,000. And we want to be able to make sure, it was Dr. Pierre's original vision, Dr. Bell carried it on, that any student on the globe that can get here should have a chance to get trained for the ministry. Amen? How many believe that God doesn't check your W-2 to see if he calls you? He checks your willingness. Amen? And we're able to make that happen together. Haiti. Now let me clarify this. We want to be able to take care of feeding every orphan all year long. We want to make sure that Pastor Rigo doesn't have to worry about one meal for one child. So when we say $48 a day, it costs $48 a day to feed. Right now, there are currently 65 to 68 orphans. For $48, all of them can get three meals a day. What I would like to see us do is crown the year off next year, or finish the year off saying, we made sure that every orphan got all the food that they needed. I mean, if you don't have food, nothing else really matters, right? If you got a hungry stomach, you got to eat. So I know that because at 12 o'clock every Sunday, I see that happen to us, myself. So, and then Israel, there are 190,000 Holocaust survivors. Our friend Mike Evans is building homes to take in the many Holocaust survivors that are just living in poverty, have nowhere to go, And 50,000 of them, of the 190,000, are in deep poverty. We want to do something to help them. And we're excited. What's going to happen next year, ladies and gentlemen, is as these projects get finished, every month, we're going to show you the evidence of what took place. And I'm grateful for all the missions work we've ever done, but I'm more excited about this than ever, because isn't it fun to see something tangible take place with the giving that you give? If you're visiting today, we don't do this every week. We don't spend a lot of time on this. But this is who this church is. We care about each other, and we care about people outside these four walls. And so without an apology, I say we do this, we love doing it, and we're excited about how God will use us in 2018. Just before before they play the video, would you take that card out for me? Would you please? I'm going to make sure everybody's got one. If you look in front of you, there's a rack, and there should be multiple cards in there. For some of you, this is the second week you've heard this, and so you'd be ready to make that commitment today. Because you've already been here and you've heard about it. But for some of you, you weren't here last week. And so if you want to take a week to pray, consider what you want to do, that's fine too. I'll be talking about this a couple more times. But I would ask you, if you're ready to make your commitment today, my wife and I are ready, to fill your name out, your address, your phone, your email. Let us know what you can do weekly there. At the end of the flyer, you'll see even four suggested levels. If 25 people gave $5, 25, $10, 25, $20, 25, $30, that would exceed the need, and it would be a phenomenal start. $84,500. Wouldn't it be fun to celebrate that this time next year, how God did all those wonderful things? Someone asked, when would we start making those commitments? We would ask the beginning of January if you could do that. All right. Some time ago, those of you that have been here for a little while know that my brother, about 7 years younger than me, passed away by a drug overdose. He had been in and out of drug rehabs, in and out of prison, and he'd get cleaned up, back on the street, cleaned up, back on the street, cleaned up, back in the street. And we had kind of had a vision that we would have a home where people that were finally up on their feet would have a little assistance to just take that next step in life. And that's a long story short in what we call Joe's House. We purchased a home in Bangor just a couple years ago. And we did a little video interview, and I think you're going to enjoy what you hear from some of the guys at Joe's House. Go ahead and play that if you would.
The gentlemen here that live here and the guys that are part of this house are a real special group of individuals. They're dedicated to furthering themselves in their Christian walk, and Joe's House really allows them to be able to do that.
See, when Joe's House became an idea, I was very happy of it. At that time, I was looking for a place. I needed a place to stay, and I had the chance to be someone that could help grow this place, to be that first person to help move in and grow this place. But not just grow this place, but grow me. Because obviously I needed the help. You know, I needed Jesus more in my life. I needed the accountability that I had from this house.
After I got connected to Joe's House, I refreshed my commitment with the Lord. I went from just, you know, believing in Him to actually having a relationship with Him and realizing that He's there in every day and in the mundane, and that I have always an opportunity to kind of have Him guide me instead of just reading the scripture and kind of thinking it as a dead word and a textbook to live by. I realize that I can be guided and instructed through His word in my own prayer time.
Joe's House has pretty much saved my life. It's gave me a chance to fix the wreckage of my past and to fix some of the wrongs that I've done in my life through with my family. You know, it's gave me a place to stay where, you know, I can build and have a relationship with God.
What would I say to someone that was supporting Joe's House and providing support for us is absolutely thank you from the bottom of my heart. The amount of change and growth that's in this house is absolutely incredible.
It goes beyond money, absolutely beyond money. With David coming here and helping out with Bible studies and people just donating their time, some people donating food, it blesses the people that live here tremendously.
I think not only the people that we have here at the current moment, but people that have even just passed through at certain points, There's so much to gain here. As much as you put into this house is as much as you get out. People come into this house hungry, with the support and the backing that the church has and the support system that it has through, whether it be financial or counseling. I think there's just astronomical growth here that you can achieve if you really press into the Lord.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So fantastic. God's been so good. And these guys are growing. And not only are they growing, they're a vital part of the church. And they're doing outreaches. They go into the homeless shelter, the drug rehabs, and bringing men and women to the church. And so I cannot tell you how proud I am of these men. They're willing to do what other people are not willing to do, but they're going to get the results that other people never get, who commit and make a decision. So isn't that awesome? Thank God for that. So thank you for helping us with all of this. And I'm going to ask you right now, ushers will get ready. If you're ready today to just go ahead and make that commitment, you can do this on here. We need to know. There's a couple people here. One, you've been helping us with missions, and you want to continue. We still are going to count on that commitment here, because we don't want to make commitments to these ministries without knowing for sure what your interest is. And then if you've never been a part of it, I would just ask you to go ahead and participate and start at a certain level that you're comfortable with. Weekly, you can go online and do it very easily with our online giving. It will do it automatically if you so wish for it to happen that way. But would you just take a moment and fill that out? And so we need your name and legibly. And even though I asked for it to be legibly, I'm going to fill out ours, because I quit penmanship pre-K. Matt Ward, my address, 14 Hallelujah Avenue. Corinth. I'm a Corinthian. It's in the Constitution. You have to be a Corinthian to pastor in Charleston. No humor is wasted on you today, I can promise you that. 4427. My phone number. 9. What's that song? 8675309. You're not all listening to AFM 88, are you? I can tell right now. That's my phone number. My email address. It is so long. Matt Ward at Charleston. Okay, it's making me nervous, like all of you are watching me. That is totally the opposite of what should be taking place. I'm doing this so that you have time to do it. Okay, well, we'll just see how much I give, and then we'll make a commitment. I'm just teasing. I know that's not true, but I can't prove it yet. All right. There I am, okay? And I'm going to ask you to just for time's sake, to go ahead and whatever you plan on giving today in your tithe and offering, to go ahead and do it all at once. That would be fantastic. And we'll give as unto the Lord. Thank you for your generosity. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. God, it's a privilege, God, to be used by you. God, we don't know how you always do things, but if we do what you tell us to do, you have a way of making things happen for us. So we give you thanks and give you honor. Thank you for the generosity that's being committed and for the generosity that will be committed. And we'll give you all the glory and the credit for it. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen and amen. Praise God. While you're giving, I want my wife to come. Thank you, Gary. I want my wife to come. Come here, honey. I need you to understand that when I leave in the morning to come to church, it is very dark, and she is very asleep. Mm-hmm. But don't we look nice today? Don't we look nice? Don't we look nice?
Yeah, tell them you don't like too much.
The worst thing that I have in my mind about getting dressed on Sundays is that we would wear the same colors. And so when I saw her walk into my office this morning, I'm like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So it gave me an excuse to say it, all right? And then just one more thing, and then we'll worship a bit. Thank you for your patience. Many of you have heard, and those of you that have been around a while are very familiar with Glendon and Maxine Falloon. And this past week,
Glendon flew and had surgery. The surgery went fine, but something happened afterward and he passed away. And so this Friday, there'll be visiting hours at noon and then the service at 1 o'clock right here in the auditorium. Maxine and Glendon lived in Florida and Northern Maine, but this is like the base. This is the base. In fact, Glendon Falloon actually worked with Pastor Libby many, many decades back. And so I know many of your family and friends want you to know that everybody's welcome to be a part of that. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Is everybody good? I've got a special message I want to share with you today. And so if you'd stand together with me, I feel like I'm just going to go right into the scripture, if you don't mind. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Thank you for your generosity, your giving today. And I believe that God's going to help you tonight. How many would just like the Lord to speak to you this morning? How many would? Okay. I need a little bit off topic. We believe that God works between Sundays as well. So everything that God does in your life doesn't have to happen on Sunday. How about a better amen? Amen. All right, all right. But oftentimes, and I've got scripture, and I'll probably talk about it tonight, before God speaks to you individually, more often, He's going to speak to you as a group. And after you've heard what God has to say generally, then you hear what God will say to you individually. Okay, let me just back up and say that one more time. Throughout the scripture, there are many patterns that people who heard from God individually first heard from God generally. And so our being together is not all that God wants to say to you, but it is often the beginning of what God wants to say to you individually. And so I can preach one message and it goes out for everybody, or whoever's preaching goes out to everybody. But how many want God to take what is said generally and help it apply it to your life individually? I want to pray that for you today. That can happen throughout the week, but it can happen right now. And many of us are going to church a lot, and I don't think we go to church enough. But I think we can get into the routine and just kind of hear it generally. But I want to pray for you that God would speak to you, and I speak really with this message to you individually. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, with open hearts, God, you find us today. And many of us are not just hoping to hear. Many of us are requiring to hear something from you that will change our lives. And I believe that you have that in store for us today. So let your name be glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. All right, Acts chapter 14, verse 21. Just a couple scriptures while you're standing, then I'll let you be seated. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, Paul preached this message. You ready? We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. This is Paul's message. This is our message. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. That's encouraging. But actually it is, once you dig into it. All right? God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you for standing for the word. I love narrow escapes. My favorite shows are those with narrow escapes. The Fugitive. Anybody ever watch The Fugitive when it was on? Star Wars. Narrow escapes. It doesn't look like they're going to get out. The Terminator. How do you kill a man who's made of steel that can melt and come back and get you? Here's the ultimate one. Well, not the ultimate. How about Jack Bauer? Like, he's never supposed to get out, and he always gets out narrowly escaping. And then the Roadrunner. Like, the coyote has a tremendous amount of terrorist training in his little past, and yet the Roadrunner narrowly escapes the TNT and the big anvil that always drops on him, or is supposed to. It always backfires. And what Paul is to us throughout the scripture, if you think Paul is some dry, you know, flannel board, unhuman figure, if you study the life of the Apostle Paul out, he's like all of those main characters wrapped up in one. Like, he's always narrowly escaping imminent danger and is no way that he's going to get out. In fact, the Bible's full of people that it looks like the bomb is ticking down. 5, 4, 3. Do you cut the white wire or not? And right at one, and the bomb doesn't go off. That's basically how Paul lived, with the wire cutters on the white wire all of his ministry. And Paul talks about this narrow escape, that through tribulations you enter the kingdom of God. Let's talk about that, because that's weird wording. The kingdom of God could sound almost like off. But really, in essence, and it's not even, I'm not, it's no more complicated than this. The kingdom of God is wherever God is allowed to be king and rule. And wherever God is allowed to be king and rule, he brings his kingdom. Or in another word that we used in our worship today, his presence is there. So wherever his presence is, that's where the kingdom of God works. And so a lot of people think, well, the kingdom of God is heaven. No, heaven is the capital city. But we carry the kingdom of God in us. Jesus says, you're looking in John chapter 3, you're looking for the kingdom, but he says, it's not something you see with your eyes. The kingdom is something that you experience in your heart. It's his presence. You know, at the beginning of the service today, when we talked about, I feel his presence, that's his kingdom. And he wants to expand, look at me, he wants to expand his kingdom in you. Like, how much of your life is he the ruler of? The Bible says to be carnally minded or fleshly minded or selfishly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. And so we come to the points, number one, that we get saved. How does the kingdom of God enter our life? One, do you have a time and point that you remember that you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you for all the sins you've ever committed? Did you officially and publicly invite him into your life? And did you allow him to give you forgiveness and salvation? If you do not have one day that you can remember that you did that, then today, before the service is over, you're going to have an opportunity to make that very, very important decision. And how many are glad today that you've done that? Raise your hand and say amen. I'm glad I've done that. Best decision I've ever made. Best decision I've ever made. So that's how you get into the kingdom. But then God's rulership in your life, he wants to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Please hear this. In other words, when I first married my wife 25 years ago, I thought I knew her. She thought she knew me. But we've grown in that relationship. It's the same with God. When you first get to know him, you think you know everything about him, but you don't know much about him. You know something. But how many are glad there's more to know about God? In fact, I've been serving God since 1990, and I feel like there's more about God I don't know than I ever did know. So that's growing. And so Paul says to grow, that when we get into the kingdom and to grow and increase peace and increase power and increase faith, he says this is how you go into those levels. You enter in through tribulation. Wow, that's encouraging. Too many people wrongly interpret that scripture. That word, now understand that the Bible originally was written in Greek language, and then English-speaking people translated from Greek text, it was written, into English language. And so the Greek word for tribulation there literally means a narrow or a tight spot. So what Paul is preaching is, every time you go into a narrow or a tight spot, just realize it's really not the end, it's an avenue to go to another level in the kingdom of God. Oh, well, now that's a little bit more inspiring. Oh, wow, now that lines up with the rest of Scripture better. So Paul is saying, you go through these times that it feels tight. And when it feels tight, don't think that this is because God's abandoning you. And don't think that this is a wasted situation. For if you'll handle it correctly, this tight spot will lead you to a bright spot. Now, I just want to know if you understand what I'm saying. You know, David in the Old Testament was anointed to be king, but there was a man who was already the king named Saul, and he hated David. So David was on the run, and the Bible says when David ran because he was being persecuted, he went to a cave called Adullam. Adullam in the Hebrew means squeezed, being in a tight spot. Interesting. Watch, there's a pattern here. He's in a tight spot, and he runs to the cave. Now, understand, caves in David's day were places to place dead bodies. Boy, that's inspiring. You're on the run from somebody who hates you, trying to do the right thing for God, and you end up in a place that is discouraging. Caves are not where you go to get inspired. Caves are where you go to expire. And in this dark and dreary place, not only is he in a tight spot on his way because he's doing the right thing to do God's will. How many know just because you're in God's will doesn't mean you won't hit resistance? We don't want to hear that. We want to rewrite the gospel and make it sound like something it isn't, that if we go through trials, it's just, you know. No. You're going to go through resistance on the way to the throne. And while he's there, guess what? Misery loves company. So 400 other men who Saul hated join him in the cave. Well, that's encouraging. That's like having 400 talk show hosts join you in your cave. And the Bible says these four things about the people that joined him in the cave. They're four things that you might be dealing with today in your tight spot. Number one, they were in doubt. They had a lot of doubt going on. When you're in a tight space, doubtful thoughts can start attacking you. Doubt. We live in a world that being intellectual means that you doubt your beliefs and you believe your doubts. Doubt. And then the men, not only were they dealing with doubt, but they were in distress. They're basically totally discouraged. We're surrounded by trouble. We're in a cave. This is the end. Not only were they in doubt and distress, but they were in debt. How many know money can put you in a tight spot? You don't have to say amen. I know that you just go like this or wink at me. You know, I won't take it personally, but just wink at me if you know what I'm talking about. And then, not only are they in doubt, distress, debt, now they're discontented. Discontent can take a really good meal and make it lousy. Discontentment can take a really good marriage and make it terrible. Discontentment can take a really good church service and make it a waste of your time. Discontentment is one of the greatest tools the enemy uses on people when they're in a tight spot. And you have to decide, my friend, today. I'm going to speak to you very frankly and very just matter of the fact today, because that's just how I feel. I just feel real matter of the fact. When you're in a tight spot, you're going to have to know what to do with doubt. You're going to have to know what to do with distress. You're going to have to know what to do with debt. You're going to have to know what to do with discontentment. But I can tell you, when David got in that tight spot, he didn't build camp there and stay there. The Bible says that David got up out of that tent, out of that cave, and overcame doubt, overcame distress, overcame debt, overcame discontentment, and he walked out, and after he left there, he went on his way, on his path to becoming the king. Actually, what happened was the 400 men that were in that place became his military, and so what I'm saying is David went in all kinds of pain with a bunch of people coming in with a bunch of pain, but by the time they walked out the cave, they came out with a bunch of power, they came out with a bunch of unity, they come out with a shout of joy. And what I'm telling you today, and I prophesy to you today, quite honestly, that whatever area your tight spot is in, maybe it's health, maybe it's money, maybe it's relationships, maybe it's your kids, I don't know what it is, but understand this, if you'll handle yourself correctly in a tight spot, it becomes a hallway to the kingdom of God, and you go to a place where God says, I'll work all things together for your good. If you had crazy faith, you could almost say, thank God for the tight spot. If you're radical and a little bit loose upstairs, You might just say, I praise Him anyway. I thank God through the storm, because every tight spot turns into something that makes the devil pay, and it exalts me into a greater level of the presence of God. When you go into the tight spot, you got little peace, but when you come out, you have great peace. When you go into the tight spot, you have little faith, but when you come out, you have great faith. It's just resistance. Somebody, hello? If you don't get a grip on this thing, you're going to create in your mind that the tight spot is the end. But it's really a hallway. You all okay with that? So how do we get through it? Because I'm going to suggest to you the message that Paul was preaching, I believe the Holy Ghost gave to him because he had been through tight spot. If you look back further in Acts chapter 14, and I'm halfway through the message in case you're counting, Acts chapter 14, verse 1, listen to these words. How many of you are, let's just take a poll here, okay? Now, I'm not doing this for me because I'm already into the message, so no turning back now. But how many would say, honestly, Pastor, I'm in a tight spot? Just raise your hand. I'm in a tight spot right now. Just go ahead and raise your hand. Yeah, I'm in a tight spot. Watch. Now, it happened in Iconium that they went together, talking about Paul, to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke to that great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks believed. Verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds. Now watch this. What's happening is the unbelieving Jews got the new people poisoned against the preachers. Okay? Verse 2. Okay, see that? The unbelieving Jews stirred up the new believers by poisoning their minds against the ministry. Verse 3. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly. Wait a minute. You know what Paul did? Paul knows that there's an absolute attack on his credibility. And what does he do? He digs in and he says, I'm not moving. Look what he says. Speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Watch this, verse 4. Paul's in a tight place because the very people he's trying to minister to are hurt, turning on him. How many of you have ever had somebody you tried to help turn on you? All right, then you can identify with what Paul went through. But the multitude of the city was divided, parted side with the Jews and part with the apostles. Verse 5. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse, oh, now it's escalating, to abuse and to stone and kill him. Look what happens in verse 6. They became aware of it, and then they went to Lystra and Derbe, the cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region, and look what they did. They went there and they preached the gospel. The first thing that you've got to do when you're in a tight spot is, number one, you've got to make sure that you keep getting the message out. Go to the next slide. You got to keep getting the message of Christ out. What's the first thing that many people do when they get in a tight spot? They close their mouths. They stop sharing the faith. They start singing the blues. They start talking about themselves. They say, oh, I can't be any good. I can't help anybody. Listen to what Paul did. When Paul was in a tight spot of being attacked, he said, I'm not going to stop preaching. In fact, the more you attack me, the stronger I'm going to preach. It would have been so simple for Paul to build his own pity party. How many of you have ever gone to your own pity party? It would have been so easy to just kind of withdraw his faith. But the only reason that God got, listen to what I'm going to tell you, because if you get this, you're going to get out of it. If you don't get this, then get used to it. If you'll get this, you'll get out of the tight spot. But if you miss it, you'll stay in it. Paul said, this is not a comfortable place, but it's not going to stop me from sharing my faith with people that need to hear it. Hello? Hello? Go like this, just so I know it's, we're going into the holiday season. I feel that spirit. I don't care what is going on. The moment the devil can stop you from sharing your faith, you might just well make this tight spot your zip code. Because How is it that only Americans can think this way, that we can be disobeying God and expect Him to answer our prayers? How is it that you cannot be doing a very plain command of the Scripture to share the faith with everybody you can and then expect Him to answer your prayer when you don't do it? I love what happened here recently. Misty came to us, Misty Belanger came to us, and about 5 years ago, and came to Christ, and had victories and setbacks, and who doesn't? Victories and setbacks. But I'm going to tell you something about little Misty. Even in her setbacks, she kept sharing the gospel. I don't know if I've met anybody quite like her. In her setbacks, she shared the gospel better than some people I know that have never been through anything. And maybe it was because of her setbacks, it gave her compassion for other people. Maybe that's what it was. But even in her setbacks, she kept inviting people. She kept sowing seeds of the gospel. She kept telling people, you need Jesus, you need Jesus, you need Jesus. And many people that she invited for years that would never go to church came to her funeral. And when I gave the altar call at the end of that funeral, those very same people that didn't come to church in her lifetime responded to the altar call and gave their lives to Christ, and some of them are in church today. This church today. We tell you the greatest thing that could ever be said of you at the end of your days is that their light never did go out. That their shine through the good times, through the bad times. And I would suggest sometimes when we're in a tight place, we share the gospel better because we've got a stronger anointing on us because we're pressing in. Don't let the devil take your light out. You are a light on a hill. Shine in the good times. Shine in the bad times. And let people know that there is a Savior and every man and woman has a right to access Him. Number two. How do we get out of a tight spot? Number one, we got to get the gospel out. Number two, look at what Paul does in verse 19. The Jews in the Antioch and Iconium came there, having persuaded the multitudes that they stoned Paul. Look at this. And they dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. He's dead. They finally catch up with Paul and they kill him. Verse 20. However, somebody say, however. He's dead. However, come on, we got guests here today. Just act like you like it. He's dead. However, my goodness, I feel like preaching that. When the disciples got around him, he got up. Let me try that again. It's way too simple for you intellectual people, so let me slow that down a little bit. Paul was dead and would have stayed dead except some of the church people got around him. I would say Paul was in a tight spot and would have ended in a tight spot. But because Paul knew how to get around some believers, he wouldn't have got out of a tight spot if he hadn't have got around some believers. My second point to tell you is you got to get around some believers and you got to get some believers around you. Hello? You got to get around believers and you got to get believers around you. Some of you are not going to get out of your tight spot as a Lone Ranger. Some of you are going to have to understand you got to be a part of the Avengers. You got to be a part of the... What's the new thing coming out? The what? I don't go to movies. Justice League, but some heathens do. On the staff. Hello? Do you know the tops of all the hero movies that have come out, of all the hero movies coming out, the most successful of all the hero movies was the Avengers one? Because all the heroes were one. I'm just telling you today, if you want to get out of a tight spot, stop planning on being the Lone Ranger and start being an Avenger and say, I'm not going to go into this thing alone and I'm not coming out alone. I'm going to get with some people that have got some faith, that have got some joy, that have got some testimonies. I'm coming out of this with some help. You need somebody. You need somebody when they see you walk into church and you head down and your hands are down and you're walking like a caveman and people look at you. You need somebody to come along and says, no, you're not dead yet. You're not done yet. We're not giving up on you yet. Come alive. Come out of this thing. You're going to be all right. Paul would have stayed in that position if he did not get around some believers and get some believers around him. You know, when you're dead, it's an awful hard time to get new friends. I don't know if you knew that. I am a Bible college president. Did you hear what I just told you? I see people coming in. I saw a guy here years ago. His house burned down, and we did everything we could to help him get him back on their feet, and then we never saw him again. And all of a sudden, he came back. They diagnosed him with cancer. I'm like, and I prayed with him, but I'm like, dude, you should have been making relationships long before now, because when you're sick, who's going to agree with you? Oh, come on, you're in church. Just say amen, just because you're here. You know, when you're down, somebody's sending you Facebook posts saying, I'm thinking of you, does little, feels good, but it doesn't change anything. Hello? I just like to watch it digitally. You need to sit beside somebody and feel their pain, see their hurt. It's not all about you. Come on, somebody. It's awful hard to build a church in a selfish generation. It isn't all about you sitting home being comfortable. At some point, you got to get with the people, because if you can help somebody that's down when you're down, somebody will help you as well. You got to have some help. You remember the little green men? How many of you ever played with the little green men? The little green men. All the different little green men had all the different abilities. Some guys had the binoculars. Some guys had the bazookas. I think it's coming up on a screen soon. Some of the guys had they crawl on the ground. They it's back there. And they would look around. And what I'm saying is, you don't need just one kind of friend. You need some of the green little men. How many know what the green little men are? I had a picture, but it's gone. The little green men. You've got different people that have got different talents. Ladies and gentlemen, God is filling this church with little green men. Some people have vision. Some people can fight, some people can crawl, but whoever you need, get connected to the church. And when you're in need, you've got a force to fight with you. Lastly, verse 20 through 21, I'm working as hard as I can, bless God. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to the city, made many disciples, and returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Come, musicians. Say this with me. Paul's one bad dude. I like this guy. Look at that scripture. Do you realize it was people that gathered from Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch that all fought him, tried to kill him? And look, and Paul's bad, man. Because he has like a board meeting. And the board says, okay, where are you going to preach now? Let me try to find the people that hate me the most. Lystra, I want to go there first. Come on, son. How about Iconium? Yeah, they really hate me there. I'm going back. Antioch, yeah, let's go there. Let's go to the hardest places possible. In other words, if you want to get out of a tight spot, one, you've got to be committed to get the gospel out. Number two, you've got to get around believers and get believers around you. Number three, you've got to get back in the saddle. Hello? If you like your tight spot, stay there. But you're making everybody else miserable. But if you want to get out of a tight spot, you got to say, you know, I used to pray more. I'm getting back in the saddle. It's in the trial that you realize, you know what? I used to be more of an encourager. I'm getting back in the saddle. Before the divorce, you used to be a lot more fun to be around. But now you're not fun. I'm getting back in the saddle. I'm going to be fun to be around with again. You know, I used to go out and I used to be led by the Holy Ghost and I'd lead people to Jesus. But I got discouraged and I got disappointed. But you know what? I'm getting back in the saddle. Sometimes, when I'm wondering what God wants me to do, I'll find out where the devil fought me most and then I'll go right back to that place. Because sometimes right where God wants you is right where the devil fought you. And sometimes you got to get a little bit of chutzpah. Is that the right word? Chutzpah. You got to get some vinegar in your veins. That's what you got to get. You got to get a little, come on, you got to cop a little bit of an attitude and say, you know what? The very area the devil tried to destroy my life, I'm going back at it. The very thing the devil tried to do to my kids, I'm attacking it. The very thing that the devil thought would take me out, I'm going right to that area and I'm going to say, Jesus Christ, I want you to plant a vineyard of blessing in the midst of the place the devil wanted to destroy my life. Obey God. The Holy Spirit is saying this today. The very thing that you've given up on, God is calling you to bring it back to Him. The very land that has become a desert, God says He's about to plant a vineyard in. The very area of your greatest defeat is going to be the very area of your greatest victory. In other words, God is saying, take off the heaviness and put on the garment of praise. Give the ashes to Him and He'll make beauty out of it. In other words, the Lord is saying, everything the devil's tried to do, God's going to do the opposite in Jesus' name. Now thank God He's got more power than the devil and He can do the opposite in any area of your life. Come on, let's thank the Lord for that today. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Say this with me. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Come on, let's try that again. Weebles wobble. Dot. Try it again. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Why? Because there's something in them that has the greater influence than anything on the outside of them. You are the believers and the followers of Christ. You have something in you, though the enemy wants to knock you down, keeps propping you back up. I think you ought to lift your hands and thank God for the power of God that's inside of you today. Would you all over this place? All over this place, lift your voice, lift your hands, and begin to thank God that the greater one is inside of me. When I don't feel like praying, I'm going to pray all the more. When I don't feel like forgiving, I'm going to forgive all the more. When I don't feel like working, I'll work all the more. When I don't feel like praising, I will praise Him all the more. Come on, all the more will I praise Him. Come on, let's change some tight spots. Let's move some barriers. Let's destroy what the enemy's tried to do by lifting up good praise. There are hundreds of you today. I ought to be able to hear it. I ought to be able to hear you praise Him right now with joy from your lips and strength in your faith. Lord, I thank You that this tight spot is going to lead me to a greater realm of glory. Come on, church. Come on, church. You got to get vocal about it. There is nothing quiet about Christianity. There is nothing quiet about praise. The Bible says when Paul was in jail, they praised until the prison shook. Come on, make a joyful noise unto the Lord and say, I'll glorify God even in a tight spot. Come on, magnify Him, church. Magnify Him. You restrict your praise to a song. Why don't you give it praise to God right now? Because He's worthy to be honored today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have been so good to us. Praise Him. Magnify Him. Beautiful name of Jesus. The beautiful name of Jesus. Magnify Him. Magnify Him. Magnify Him today. Let God free you today from a tight spot today. Get back in the saddle and worship Him.
When I think of your sacrifice, the ultimate price that you paid, Lord, I lift up my hands and I worship your name.
Praise
you.
Just begin to honor Him. Thank Him that He's going to turn this thing for your favor right now. Come on, begin to thank Him. Lord, You're turning this into my favor right now. Everything the devil meant for evil, God is turning out for good for my benefit right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. You know what a yoke is? Something put around your neck and restricts your life. Do you understand that's exactly what the devil wants to do to the people of God, is restrict your life? But the Bible plainly states when the anointing comes into your life, every tight spot has to break wide open, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. It's not only absolutely vital you break out of a tight spot for your sake, but there are family members that you have that will not get out of their tight spot until you break out of yours. You're the leader, the spiritual front man or front woman to kick the gates of hell down and say, this tight spot over my family will not restrict us ever again because of the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Until you get more convinced of the power of God than the power of that tight spot, you'll die there. But the moment you get a revelation that the tight spot doesn't have more strength than Jesus Christ, you'll say, if I'm here, it won't be long till Jesus shines His light on me, and I will be free, and my family will be free, and my neighbors will be free, and my church will be free. Hallelujah. I think you ought to give Him praise one more time. I think He deserves better praise than we've given Him yet. Begin to thank Him. I thank You, Lord. I think for real, this thing's turning around. Hey, come on. How many believe this thing is turning around? Starting now. Go ahead. It's turning around now. It's coming. I said it's coming. As your faith is, so shall it be unto you. You gotta hate it. You gotta get sick of it. You gotta say, God, I don't want to die here. I want You to break it open so that I got a greater testimony. Amen. Let's make all the religious people in here nervous. I'm tired of doing it by myself. Everybody ready for God to turn it around? Let's do it. My wife's done this before with you. Ready? Turn around. Amen. Woo! Hey! Hallelujah! You think I'm just trying to help you? I'm preaching my way out of my own tight spot today. Hallelujah. Because I believe that God is great, and He's greatly to be praised, and He's got great things to do in His people today. Just pray together with me. Are you ready? Let's pray this way together. Jesus, starting today, the tight spot loosens. And my faith increases. And what the devil intended for evil, You're going to make it work. For me, my family, my friends, and my church. If you believe it, say a good amen today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. With every head bowed again and every eye closed, who's here today that I referred to in the beginning of the message, that you don't have a relationship with Christ? You don't have that date and time that you said, I'm sorry, Lord, for my sins. I need You to forgive me. Please come into my life. Or maybe you've drifted far from God. You come back to this place called church and you say, I'm ready to make a fresh commitment to serve God like never before. If that's you, slip your hand up nice and high. So as long as I can see it, then you can put it down. Yes, God bless you, son. Who else? The balcony to the floor. Yes, God bless you back there. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. His Spirit is here today. God bless you. His Spirit is here today. And He's got you on His mind. Hallelujah. You got in a tight spot. Now it's time to come back to where God is. It's time for a new beginning. Every person that raised your hand, as boldly and quickly as you can, join me at this altar right now. Just join me at this altar right now. Come on, make that move. Make that move. Make the move. Don't be held any longer. That's it. Come on. Don't be held in that tight spot any longer. Come on over here, guys. Come on over. Right here. Just right here, buddy. Hey, guys. Come on. It's okay. What's your name?
Patricia.
Patricia. Hi, Patricia. What's your name, buddy?
Joe.
Hey, Joe. Nice to meet you, Joe. Patricia. Hey, buddy. Praise God. Come on over here, ladies. Amen. Are you bringing her? I thought so. What's your name?
Brittany.
Hi, Brittany. I'm Matt. Wow. Wow. How old are you, Brittany? You're 13, and your mom has cancer. That's a tight spot right there. Come on, ma'am. Yes, come on, ma'am. Vinny, help her. God bless you. Oh, where's your mom?
She's at home.
She's at home.
She had treatment yesterday.
She had treatment yesterday. I'm going to tell you something. Brittany, this is an awesome opportunity. Really is an opportunity for God to get in your life. Amen. How do you know each other?
I'm her mom's best friend.
Your mom,
she spends
okay.
The days that her mom has treatments with me at my house.
Wow. Oh, wow. Well, thank you. Thank you. You're one of those little green men.
I am.
Huh? You got a little green soldier in your life with red hair. That's awesome. That's awesome. Hello, young lady. What's your name?
Diana.
Hi, Diana. God bless you. It's a privilege to meet you. Thank you for coming today. Jesus.
I've been here for quite a while.
I've seen you sitting with that handsome man right there. But today's the day. There is Harry. But today's the day. Make that decision for Christ, right? Amen. Awesome. Praise God. Well, let's pray this prayer together. God gets involved in all of our lives. You're a special young man. God's not giving up on you, and neither are we. All right? All right. Let's pray this way with all these precious souls today. The tight spot of sin is breaking off their lives. Amen? Let's pray together.
Dear Jesus,
thank you for never giving up on me. I know you brought me here today. It's part of your plan. I feel your love.
I feel your love.
This is my day.
This is my day.
You made this for me.
Please forgive me
from all my sins. I want to be clean. Washed.
I want a brand new heart.
I want a brand new beginning.
I want a
heart that feels your presence. That receives your peace. That has confidence. You have a plan for me.
All sin
of my past has no influence over my life. That's gone. This is a brand new day. And I have a brand new beginning. I'm walking out of a tight spot. And I'm going to live for you for the rest of my life. You get all the credit. In Jesus' name. Amen. I think we should shout and rejoice. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to share just a couple quick bits of information. This is just the beginning. Number one, it's just the beginning. Two, the Bible you're going to get is going to be your, it's going to be your guide. It's going to be your lifeline. All right. That Bible. Okay. Jesus is already in you, but that Bible shows you what to do next. Three, the Bible teaches you need a church, a people that will look out for you, a people that will, little green soldiers that will stand with you. You got a little green soldier right there. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. And this, you know what the church is for? To encourage you. Okay. And that's what these folks are going to help you do. Let's one more time thank God for these precious men and women. Thank God.